What just happened? We dropped a bunch of nukes because B-Daddy's here on the TagCast. Welcome to the TagCast, everybody. It's your host, Optimus, joined by the illustrious, the excellent, the esteemed Fenrir765, and the amazing man from Boston, B-Daddy K. What's happening, guys?
What's going on, guys?
Napalm, brought to you by B-Daddy K.
It gets me every time when I hear that.
It's pretty funny. It's making me laugh now all the time, every time.
I don't know why it's so funny either.
In case you don't know what the inside joke is, during Black Ops Cold War, they have a score streak where you could drop napalm, and it makes a sound effect that B-Daddy brought out for us one evening, and now it's a GIF on Discord for us. So it's good to have you on the show, B-Daddy. I'm glad you joined us this evening. And
yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah. Is this like what round? We try to keep track, but we forget how to count. So
I think it's round two.
Oh, nice.
No, it's got to be more than that.
No, I think it's two.
Just the second time?
I believe so. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, for our tag cast historians, please let us know in the Discord when you listen to the episode. Well, welcome to the show. Yes, welcome to the TagCast. We are the Adult Gamer Community Podcast, and we try to highlight our community, talk about it, chat about it, get you to want to come join us if you haven't yet, and come and chat video games with us on a daily basis, even maybe play a few video games with us. As Hop said, I am Fenrir765, and I'm glad to be hosting the show in our third season, and it's a good time. So I just want to jump into some news. I want to highlight a couple things real quick in case you missed it, but EA Sports has announced that they're bringing back college football, which is kind of cool.
Minus
bringing back
license.
College football. How is it college football without players?
Yeah.
In schools?
No likeness, and there's still...
Are they just doing city names? Like,
it's really confusing. They just announced it, and I don't think they thought through that yet, but... Anyways, they did that. Apparently, there was a Legend of Zelda TV series on Netflix, supposedly in the works, but Nintendo canceled it because of a leak. Again, speculation.
Of a leak.
But whatever. The Initiative, that quadruple A studio from Microsoft, lost its design director, which kind of sad, but it sounds like, I don't know. It's hard to tell. It sounds like he's choosing to focus on his life and move on. So I don't know what that HR speak is for, but...
I don't know. There's so much churn in the industry now.
I mean, that's a pretty big bummer, but I mean, there's another... I don't really know if it's a bummer, B-Daddy, but something else is happening that we all kind of saw coming.
You couldn't be talking about Stadia, could you?
I mean... what does your crystal ball say about Stadia?
Well, my crystal ball, I think it's like everybody's crystal ball was, everybody's 8-ball was coming up negative on that. I don't know why it was even, I don't even know why Google put that out with their like track record of products that just unceremoniously get dumped.
Or, yeah, disappear and get swept under the rug.
Exactly. I mean, that was basically Stadia's destiny, if you want to say. I mean, so they're closing down their game studio now, which I can't understand why they even had started a game studio to begin with. I mean, I could see their plan for Stadia as, you know, a games delivery service, but I mean, everybody has one, but you know, they could have brought it to the market and probably made some money from it, but then to open up a studio, it just doesn't seem... There's no real draw to Stadia, in my opinion, because, I mean, you have the big-name games like Destiny, but you can get that on every other platform, so there's no... I don't know, it doesn't seem like a draw to Stadia, and then for them to open up a studio, then staff it, and then, whoop, we're going to dump it, kind of like with Amazon with their studio. I mean, that long-simmering MMO they have.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of wild. I mean... Isn't there like a website dedicated to like the Google cemetery, if you will? Like keeps track of all the different things Google has started and then just let disappear or shut down or whatever it is. So, I mean, yeah, shocker, right? Who saw it coming? I mean, what do you think is going to last longer now? Amazon Luna or Stadia?
I don't know, because, I mean, I can't even tell you about Luna. I don't even know what the heck is... What's on that service?
It's pretty similar to what Stadia is.
Yeah, I mean, I think I only know more about Stadia because it's more like... It's, you know, it's the
it's
newer
more
one.
It's in your face right now.
Yeah, exactly.
What you mean?
No, it's more established. The Amazon one... Has that officially hit yet?
Like, I think it's out. Yeah.
It's out, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I think they only have, like, 5 games on it right now, and you pay, like, $6 a month to play them, but...
Yeah. I don't know, man. With all the data caps around the U.S., I don't see any of these streaming game services really taking off. Because, I know, like, BDaddy, you're in the same boat I'm in. I get just around a terabyte a month, and I'm like, you know, thank God I'm not streaming my games. I would be blowing the cap all the time.
Comcast finally, in my area, introduced data caps, and lo and behold, this month I blew past the cap. It's like 1.2 terabytes. I'm up to, well, it was January, it's 1.8. I mean, so I look back on my history, and that's been about my average for the past 4 months now is 1.8, 1.7.
Yeah, with the drop of the Series X, like it was, blew over my data cap last month by like.
When the X dropped, I think my
gig. Yeah.
I think I was almost at 3.5 terabytes that month.
Jeez. Yeah, downloading all the new stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But last month, this past month, I actually went back to my normal. So I think all the next-gen updates and stuff for the time being has cooled its jets. So I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, streaming, that would be awful.
That Game Pass is killing me.
You don't have to worry about it till May 14th, right, Finn?
That's very true, because May 14th I'm going to download all of the Mass Effects, because the Mass Effect Legendary Edition drops, and I'm excited for this. I love this series. I love everything about it, and they are remastering it. It's not a remake, unfortunately, in some ways. But
they did change a lot, though. I was watching that trailer. I was like, oh, okay, yeah they did clean up a lot of stuff. There's a lot of character models that look way better.
And it's going to come to you in 4K, ultra high def, with the HDR.
You know how I like my 4K HDR.
Yep.
Trademark. Ding!
It's going to hit all 3 games of the original trilogy, plus all
with
the
all
DLC.
With all the DLC, yeah.
It's like 40 DLC. Like, I know some of that's just like items and things.
Is that going to include Mass Effect 3's amazing fun multiplayer mode?
I don't recall.
Yes, it better, because
I hope they
can bring back Sith and Anthem. There was a whole bunch of us. There was a whole bunch of used to play it, and it was
so much
fun. I'd
love to play
it
with you guys.
Dude, it was so much fun.
But they're also allowing... Here's a cool thing. They're bringing FemShep from Mass Effect 3 is going to be playable in all 3 games. So that's really cool. They're doing other tweaks and updates, and they're... stability issues, like especially with the first game towards the end of it, so that's really awesome to see that they're gonna do that. I can't wait to get my hands on it. It is $60. There is a collector's edition, or not edition, but collector's supplement, I guess is what they're calling it, and oh my goodness, it's tempting to spend the $150 on that, but my wife would kill me.
$60 really isn't too bad though for 3 games if you think about
it. With all the DLC.
That's easily like, it's like 300 hours worth of gameplay. I mean, you could easily be gone and, you know, earn that money. Not earn that money, but get your money's worth out of it.
Ultimate, you get 10% off.
Ooh, even better. But, yeah,
that's right.
I am really excited for this game. I love it. I will play the heck out of it, and I can't wait to dive back into the Normandy and travel around as Shepard and play the game exactly the same way I played it back when I first played the game, because
why change?
Yeah, why not? But I mean, that's not until May, but it's February now. Hop, what's new? What can people get their hands on this month?
Well, our new releases. Well, first I wanted to bring up only because we all play Call of Duty. They're finally going after the cheaters in Warzone. They banned 60,000 cheaters, and supposedly they're going to start to put in some anti-cheat measures, which would be nice. So that's nice, because there's definitely been some nights where I'm like, that guy is totally cheating. And I'm not one to call out everybody that's better than me as a cheater, but I've seen some shit that's like, there's no way that guy shot through five walls and killed
me. Yeah.
You mean they're not just going to rely on crowdsourcing people to report cheaters?
Yeah, I think they've given up on that. But February, well, we're already in. Dropped last night, but officially today, the Control Ultimate Edition, which includes ray tracing and all that goodness on Series X and PS5.
Oh, it looks so good.
That's out. Destruction All-Stars on PS5 is out also today. February 4th, we get Blue Fire, and the same day, just to throw it out there, we're going to get the new Call of Duty Zombies map for Cold War.
Looking forward to that.
Werewolf the Apocalypse, Earthblood, this is out on PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, and Xbox One, and PC. Kinetic Edge for PC February 5th. Nioh 2, the complete edition for PS4, February 5th. Nioh 2 Remastered, complete edition for PS5, February 5th. And Nioh 2 Remastered for PS5, February 5th. Nioh Collection for PS5, February 5th. It's all the same game. They just have to list each increment of it. Scarlet Hood and the Wicked Wood. That sounds dirty. PC and Mac, February 10th. Little Nightmares 2, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, February 11th. The game that Ubo and my son have been waiting for forever, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, Nintendo Switch, February 12th.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Sorry, are you Ubo's father?
No. No, dear Lord, no. King of Seas, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, February 18th. Persona 5 Strikers, PlayStation 4, Switch, PC, February 23rd. Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection. I would like to play this on the Switch, maybe February 25th.
Hellpoint, break my Switch.
Switch, February 25th. Bravely Default 2 on the Switch, February 26th. And then Retromania Wrestling. This has Sys name all over it. February 4th, Xbox One, Switch, PC, February 26th. Man. Not too much, but there are some gems. And there's some other smaller releases that are probably going to trickle out that we'll see pop up too. Yeah, man.
Well, thanks, Hop, for letting us know what we can get with our hard-earned monies in the month of February. But for now, you know, we like to offer the opportunity for the community to ask random questions to us. Ask random questions to Hop and I and whatever the guest host is going to be. So feel free to shoot me a DM in Discord.
Game-related questions.
Oh, they can be whatever. It could be what kind of underwear you're wearing today. That's fine.
Commando.
Who wears underwear?
Okay. Well, we're definitely pantless, so that's an interesting story to tell. But feel free to ask any question. We'd love to just answer it. I mean, I asked about M&Ms. Ubo asked about remakes and remasters. We have all sorts of questions. Halloween costumes. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Ask a question, and I will let you know if it's going to be appropriate for the show, and most likely it will be. But yeah, feel free to send those questions. And as always, if you want to join the show, please don't hesitate to reach out to me or Hop in the Discord, and we would love to have you on the show. We try to record the first and third Tuesdays of every month, but we'll be a little flexible if we need to get you on. Remember, the first person to episode 4 might get a prize. We're not sure what that prize might be. Depending on who you are, if it's Ubo, it might be a sacrifice. We'll see what happens. Wow. I'm kidding, Ubo. Ubo, you're great, man. Thanks for always coming on the show and enjoying the conversation with us.
Don't forget what a value Game Pass is for $1.
All righty. B-Daddy, what games have you been playing lately?
Well, probably my most played games right now. My most played game probably right now is Black Ops Cold War. Probably everybody else's most played game.
Out of all three of us on the show, it's our most played game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what can you not say about Black Ops Cold War? It's Call of Duty. If you like it, that's your game. I've been playing Tetris Effect Connected. That's been something that really I wasn't too interested in, but I played it and really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'd like to play with you guys. I played it a little bit by myself, but I bet it's way more fun with your friends where you're talking shit and stacking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's awesome. Like, yeah. I love puzzle games, but I was a little burnt out on the Tetris games because
right, cause it seems been like it's around a, since the Game Boy.
Yeah, but it's a really cool reimagining of the
dude.
Of
I'm
the
gonna
game.
Drop a bomb for you. That's 31 years we've been playing that fucking game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually. My wife actually plays that with me, and she's not a gamer, so...
I downloaded the game for the exact same reason. I figured I'd, you know, convince the wife to play a couple rounds with me.
Did it work? Yet.
No. Not yet.
I don't even bother anymore.
Not yet. I'm not giving up, man. I'm like a dog with a bone, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, Tetris, that definitely scratches her itch. So, that's definitely... If you want to get a significant other to play a game, that's one to play. And then I've been playing The Medium, which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's next on my pile. My pile.
Yeah, if you're a fan of like the Silent Hill trilogy or, you know, horror games in general, it's awesome. It's definitely a throwback to the old school. It's not really super old school, but like Silent Hill 1 and 2. Two mostly, mm-hmm. Like the presentation, the atmosphere. I think it actually has the same composer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, they did two composers, but the one that does the horror side is the one from Silent Hill.
Yeah, yeah. Kira. Mm-hmm. What the heck? I can't remember what his last name is. But yeah, it's. I want to say it's like a, you know, it's a modern day Silent Hill, really, because it's got the dual. Worlds per se, where yeah. Like you're in our reality, then you go to
that
the afterlife.
Split screen gameplay looks crazy. It looks fun.
It is pretty cool. It's kind of gimmicky, but it works. It's not and they don't overuse it, which is nice.
Yeah, I think me and probably the rest of the world thought that you could switch back and forth as like freely between the two worlds. But
yeah, that's what I thought too before I played it.
And I think everybody did that because everything I've read or seen, everybody's kind of like, yeah, you can only switch back or switch when they let you switch, which is fine because so far it works. So it doesn't kill the vibe of the game.
Exactly.
Bouncing back and forth willy nilly. So
yeah, there are. I mean, there's also like, how do I put it? Like the gameplay is definitely old school, which kind of can turn some people off. It's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, set camera angles, the control and gameplay is a little clunky, and the character models aren't the greatest, especially up close. But the backgrounds and everything are awesome. The graphics in that are awesome. But luckily, it doesn't really pull you out too much. But that's probably been like my second most played game in the past couple weeks now, and that's really awesome. I played through. Call of the Sea a couple weeks ago. If you're a fan of walking simulators, it's pretty good. I don't know if you guys are down with that kind of game, like Firewatch, Gone Home, or Edith Finch. But
Firewatch was awesome.
Yeah, Firewatch is one of my favorite games. If you can really call it a game. It's more like a story. But Call of the Sea is in the same vein.
Are they kind of like the Telltale? I haven't played any of those. Are they kind of like the Telltale
games? Not really.
No.
Not really. No. You don't have like a dialogue choice and branching story. It's basically you walk around the environment, you do certain tasks. That
so it's like an RPG without combat? Like old school RPG but no combat? Like you just talk?
Yeah, basically. You uncover the mystery of the game.
Yeah. It's just experiencing a story.
Yeah,
not really.
Exactly.
Right, so the old school RPGs were like that, except that you then fight monsters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no combat, which is cool.
Right.
It's like, you know... So
Firewatch
you know.
Has a really awesome story. Like, it really... I don't want to give too much away because it really is about
you
the
can't
really
yeah you can't it's really tell the tell you can't really describe the game without
yeah it's a the voice acting in it's kind of like listening to a serial podcast like the fictional podcast like you're just listening to it but you happen to be engaging in the environment and seeing visually what is being portrayed, but it's a really awesome story. I think Firewatch is one of the most underrated games.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think it's awesome. So if you're definitely a fan of that, Call of the Sea is really good.
I'll have to check that out.
You should. And let's see, what else am I playing?
Don't forget getting drunk with your kid.
Oh, yeah, Sea of Thieves. That doesn't sound good considering my son's only 11. Sea of Thieves. That game, when it first came out, I don't know, it really didn't do anything for me. But in the past like year or so, they've added some like really cool content to it. Mm-hmm. And especially on the Series X now, the game is freaking gorgeous. So my son and I fire up our little sloop, sail around, and get drunk.
That's pretty much all there was to do when the game first came out. Like, I play it with Duke and Stud Knuckle and everybody from Tag Fireman when that game first came out. That's all we did. We're like, oh, what do we do? I don't know. We sail around a boat and drink a bunch of stuff and shoot other guys.
Yeah.
And after about an hour, like, let's go play something else.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. It's fun to waste an hour or two. But yeah, we've been playing that, sailing around, doing some of the quests and stuff.
They didn't even have quests when that game first came out. Yeah. When I played it.
They had the real basic ones, but they didn't. Now they have like actual tall tales that are like story based type stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah, now they have a whole season pass type thing going on now. I haven't played it since.
It's the new model.
Yeah,
everybody's gonna do it.
Which I'm not too opposed to if you can get some quality DLC for quote unquote free. Fair. You know, for microtransactions. That's really not too bad of a model. Because, I mean, it's worked pretty well for Call of Duty.
Well, Fortnite's the game that really put that model in
place. Oh, yeah.
That's the game that started that. And then they did it to Modern Warfare last year, and they're like, oh, this actually works.
Yeah, but the thing with Fortnite is the game was actually free, you know?
Right. It didn't cost you anything. Well, so with Warzone, they did that and then did Battle Pass, but yeah.
And the thing, I think Fortnite has done it the best out of all the games, really, because I mean, some of the skins are kind of expensive, but they're not like, the game gets like constant updates, which are pretty decent. The seasons have been pretty sizable.
Now, in Fortnite, can you earn the points or V-Bucks, I guess, back that you need to buy the next season?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Because there's a few games that does not do that, and not to say that that's a bad practice. I get why they're doing that, but I do like how Call of Duty and Fortnite kind of give you that opportunity. Like, if you dedicate your time to our game, you'll get enough money to go to the next season without having to actually spend any more money.
Exactly, it gets you a way to spend. I think it's actually a way to spend more money actually, because you get that, like, oh, I'm not paying for the Battle Pass, so I can buy a couple skins, and then you spend more money than you were planning on spending.
Sounds like you're talking from experience.
Not so much me, put it that way.
Oh, soy boy?
Oh, soy boy, oh yeah.
Yeah, so let's see. I've been playing a lot of Black Ops Cold War. I never tried the gold challenges on Modern Warfare because some of them were annoying. Like, there's no way I was going to get 500 mounted kills or whatever. That was just annoying as fuck. But with Cold War, it was about a month ago, I noticed that I was only two camos away from getting the gold XM4, which is my favorite gun. I was like, alright, I'll do that. And then I looked and I was like, oh, I'm pretty close to the AK. So I did the AK and I did the Krieg 6, and now I'm working on, I figured I'll get gold on all the assault rifles to get the diamond. Those are the only guns I'm doing it with. So that's been fun.
It seems a little more fun in Cold War.
Yeah,
than,
they're not so
Modern
bad.
Warfare.
The only one that, like, the one that seems to take the longest is where you got to get kills when a score streak is active, or the long shots. Those two seem to take the longest. The other ones are kind of happening more organically.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the new Zombies update this week, a whole new map that continues the storyline. That's cool. And we're getting another 6v6 map and some more stuff. I'm just annoyed that they haven't added a wood skin that is not a biker, a trucker, a fisherman. Like, they haven't added
Christmas.
Like a... Right, yeah, I was like, oh, these skins suck. What the hell?
Yeah, I was just talking about that the other night. I think Woods is getting the shaft in this game
for
skins.
Well, there's a really... In the campaign, he's got a cool skin where he basically looks like Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid 3, right? In the campaign, in that red light, green light mission. That's the skin I want for multiplayer. They haven't added it yet. It's annoying. I've been deep in the world of Assassin's Creed Origins. I've been playing that for 2-3 weeks now. I've at the end of the story, but I've been doing side missions, and like today I just went to the second arena you find, and I just did like all the gladiator fights, and that was actually a crap ton of fun. I was like, this is so fun.
Is it like an actual gladiator?
It's like the Colosseum, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're in. Yeah, it's cool. It's a blast. I was like, this is so cool. And there's a way to do it. You can challenge friends. There's a horde mode. I don't know if you can co-op that in the arena. That would be amazing.
Did you guys ever play, what was that, Rise?
Rise. Oh, no, I have it. I have it on my, like, I got it when they gave it with gold.
But the Colosseum thing in it is actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played most.
Was pretty high rated as far as a launch Xbox One game that was really good. And then I've been goofing around with my classic Doom. They added a bunch more classic WADs, so I've been playing those. WADs are like add-on content, and they're free. You can install them and play them. There's this one for Doom 2 that makes it almost like a Viking slash Hexen thing where you have a crossbow.
Oh, I love Hexen.
Everything's reskinned. It's pretty trippy. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I installed that new, it's a 16-bit inspired action platformer. It's like a cross between Ninja Gaiden and Super Metroid and Contra. It's called Cyber Shadow.
I've been playing that too.
Yeah, it's published by the guys that made Shovel Knight but developed by another studio. It's pretty good. It's hard. I like that it's got checkpoints. That makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, big time.
Like, in the beginning, all you have is your sword. I was like, wow, this sucks. I need something. Give me something. I'll probably play that some more. Once I finish Assassin's Creed, I'll probably jump into Medium. What have you been jamming on there, Finn?
Call of Duty, like you guys said. Just jamming out to that. Nothing else to really put there. Also, I've been diving in some PUBG lately. I've been having fun with it, playing with some Hybrid, Noble Matt, as well as Primordial Goo on occasion. So
I so want to like reinstall it and try it on the Series X.
I mean, it's not a perfect game, you guys.
Oh, it never was. It never was.
But it loads perfectly. I'm in the lobby for like the full minute and a half before the game starts, so it's awesome.
Yeah, loading in as you're like dropping in.
Yeah, yeah, not doing that anymore. I actually got a chicken dinner the other day where
nice.
I got 6 kills. I kind of stole a couple kills, but hey, you know.
Kill's a kill.
Exactly. It was a fun game. It's just been fun. It's a nice change of pace from Call of Duty, and I've been enjoying that Battle Royale from PUBG a little bit more than I was for Warzone for a while. And then
I still like Blackout more than Warzone. I wish they would go back to that design.
I did like Blackout as well. The I've been playing Tetris Effect Connected, like you said, B-Daddy, trying to get the wife playing that. I will say I do enjoy the music and the everything that they do in that game. It's very zen, but then also like it just hits you and you're like, oh shit! Like it breaks you right out of that zen. You kind of get stressed. And you gotta figure it out real quick. But
have you tried any of the like the adventure mode, I think it is, the ones where you can do a marathon bomb?
I've just been working through the story mode thing, or the not really story but the whatever that is, the main
the main quests. You might have better luck with getting your wife to play it if you try those, because it's more of the standard Tetris.
I'll try that out. It's just definitely, it's beautiful. Oh my God, it's a beautiful game. The music is fantastic, and I could definitely play this after a real shitty day to cool down and like reset my chakras, I guess.
Yeah.
But love it. And then the Median as well. I'm not too far into it, but I can only take so much of that thriller, horror type stuff before it somehow like messes with my sleep. Not that I I'm like scared or anything. It just messes with my sleep for some reason.
Well, it's just the twisted games like that. Yeah. Like do it to you, or totally. To me at least.
Yeah, that's kind of where it is. And then I started Gears Tactics, which I'm excited to really get into a little further. I'm literally just past the main mission or the first mission, so I don't really have much to say about it. But other
is
than,
it tactical like turn based?
Yeah, it's kind of like XCOM, but it's a little bit more forgiving than XCOM so far. Ooh. That I can tell. So I'm excited to keep going down that. It's very story based. So I'm not sure, like, you know, XCOM's like permadeath.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case in this game or not. I doubt it is, at least for some of the characters, because they're main characters that are important to live. So I'll find out. I haven't failed anything or had anybody die yet, so I'll keep you posted on that. But with that being said, that's what we're playing. What is Tag playing on Thursdays, Hop?
Tag Thursdays is game night, and mostly we're on Xbox, but a lot of the games are now crossplay with PC. This February 4th, we've got Forza Horizon 4, which is crossplay with PC. February 11th, we got Halo 5, that's Xbox only. February 18th, we have on here Battlefield 5. Hopefully some people show up. February 25th, we have Titanfall 2. And then Friday nights is Fight Club. There's a channel on the Discord called Fighting, and there's a role called Fight Club. And lately we've been playing MK11 and Injustice 2. But we're open to other stuff, too. Samurai Showdown Neo Geo Collection's on sale this week, along with MK11 Ultimate, if anybody wants to join us for Fight Club. I'm down to play anytime.
Yeah, and if you ever want to suggest a game for the game night on Thursdays, let Are You Dead know in our Discord, and he'll see what he can do to put in there. Some really interesting games coming to Game Pass over the next couple weeks that we might want to add in there pretty soon.
Heck yeah.
So, with that being said, on the TagCast, we like to have a deep dive where we just kind of go into a little topic that we like to just maybe chat a little further about, kind of talk about what everyday gamers think or feel and respond to, and just give a voice to the community and what we feel is important to us. And Hop, you actually had a really good idea about talking about what makes games replayable. So the replayability of the game, what works or what doesn't, what games have you played that the replayability is just not there? Like after you beat it, done. Or maybe don't even beat it and you're just done with it, period. So replayability is huge because we do spend a lot of money on this hobby, and you know it's important to get our money's worth and out of it. So what makes a game replayable to you? And I'll start with you, B-Daddy. What's a game that right now to you that is highly replayable?
Highly replayable? Well, like Call of Duty, it's highly replayable, but that's, I think that for me, that has more to do playing with my friends. Like I can play it like single player, but that game is definitely more about hanging out with my friends and stuff. But mm-hmm. I think for me, more replayable games are like puzzle games like Tetris and Luminous. Have you ever played that game?
Dude, I was crack addicted to that game on the PSP when it came out. Jeez.
That I can sit there and play that game, the hours melt away. It's I don't know, it's like a combination of like the music.
Yeah,
like
the killer music.
The crazy like skins for like the blocks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just something like I don't know. It's hard to describe.
Now, I got the newer one that came out, and I think it's backwards compatible. It was on 360.
Live? Yeah, Luminous Live. I love that game.
I had that. Oh, for some reason, I couldn't get into it as much as I could when I was playing it on the PSP. Like the PSP one, man, I had a fierce addiction to. Fierce addiction.
Yeah, that one I love too. And I bought the one on the Xbox One too, the remastered
one.
Maybe that's the one.
I have that one, yeah.
Yeah, that one, at first it wasn't as... I didn't like it as much as the 360 one. I don't know if it was like the gameplay or the speed. Something seemed off, like the timing. But once I got used to it, it was almost as good as the 360 one. But it brings it back to like what you were mentioning before the podcast started about like gameplay tweaks, like how mm-hmm. how developers sometimes, like, I don't want to say run afoul of technology, but like either the technology gets ahead of what they can do or their ideas get ahead of the technology. Like you were mentioning with like what Doom 3, how the gameplay changed from the first couple Dooms where it was like real fast paced run and gun. And then 3 was more of, to me, like a almost like a horror game with like jump scares, and it wasn't the Doom that you're used to. And
yeah, and at the time, so this is kind of the segue for what I was talking about, like when you go back to especially an older game, say a game you haven't played in 10 or 15 years. At the time Doom 3 came out, it was amazing and revolutionary, and mostly because the graphics, and they had some new sound design, and it was really cool. And at the time, I think I was more forgiving of the fact that the gameplay slowed down. It played a lot more like Resident Evil instead of Doom.
Exactly. Right?
And then going back to play it later, it wasn't as much fun, whereas I can still fire up the original 1993 Doom, which I own on Xbox One.
Yeah,
and you can
me
load
too.
Those classic WADs, and I can play that game and get totally sucked in and get that like shooter, that dopamine shooter high from that game that I can't get on Doom 3. And I can get that same effect from Doom 2016. Doom Eternal lost me a little bit with all the crazy jumping. It took me out of that zone, and that's another that game for me is probably not gonna, it doesn't have much legs because I already don't like it. Doom Eternal.
I want to play it, but hearing stuff like that makes me not even want to try it.
I know a few people really love it, but like myself and Stud Duke, I know a few others that are hardcore old school Doom fans, and we're all like, nope.
Yeah,
we could just be like, get off our lawn, though. You know what I mean? The other game for me, when it came out, was really cool and revolutionary, and that was Resident Evil. And then it got a remake on the GameCube, like, what's the GameCube after the PlayStation was 95, and the GameCube came out in, what, 97, 98? It got a remastered remake, and they recently, it's Games with Gold for Xbox One. And it works on Series X. I was like, oh man, I love this game. I played about 10 minutes of it. I was like, okay, they need to totally remake this game, because that's a game where at the time it was revolutionary for its theme and scare factor, but the actual gameplay is really hard to play now. It's not intuitive. It's not fun.
Exactly.
Like, I think the reason why I can play a lot of the old 16-bit shoot 'em ups and action games is the gameplay was real easy to pick up and play, and they were made to be replayable. Some of the newer games now aren't really made to be replayable. It's like they tell you one story, then you're done with the game.
That's the thing, is a lot of like the story based games now are one and done. Especially like, I'm trying to think of a game that maybe like the Far Cry series. Like I beat Far Cry 5 and I really don't have any desire to go back and mess around in the quote-unquote sandbox of the world. Whereas,
yeah, I could sort of see that with Assassin's Creed Origins, too. I'm loving the game, but I think once I beat it, I don't know how much of a draw there'll be to go back to. Because the game is so huge as it is. Like, it's kind of a daunting task.
Yeah, that's... So yeah, sometimes when you have, like, too much to do, it's... I don't know, it's, like, hard to... But then again, like, replayability is different for everyone too.
True.
I think like for me, replayability comes down to two things: genre and story. Outside of like the multiplayer aspect, if we're thinking about just more single player or style games, yeah, genre and story. And the reason why I say that is at the top of the show I talked about Mass Effect and the remake or the remaster that's coming out. I've played the hell out of Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. I've had probably 9 to 12 different playthroughs of that, of those three games. And yes, I did vary up the playthroughs on what I did, but because I enjoyed that game, there was so much to do, there was so much to see, so much to, many different ways to behave as you played through those stories. You could be a complete total douche. You could be the nicest, kindest person in the world. there was many different romantic options and to choose from, and I went through all of it. By the way, Tally Bay for life. You know, she's my girl. Anyways, the point that I'm trying to make is the genre and the game and the story of those games really hit home, not home, but like hit me in a way that I wanted to digest it and enjoy it as much as I could. Now, taking that and flipping it around, like The Witcher 3 is a fantastic game. I loved it. I played the hell out of my
That's
one...
another game that's freaking huge, though.
But
it's huge.
My point, yeah, like if but I, like if you compare,
it's probably as big as all three Mass Effect games put together.
Yeah. So that's my point. It's like I played all three Mass Effect games several times, but The Witcher 3 played it once. And it's not because the game is bad. It's just the genre didn't necessarily hook me as well as the genre of Mass Effect. Yeah. And I just
But I also think when a game hits a certain length, like when it takes more than 40 hours, the odds of me replaying that game are pretty slim. Whereas a game that you can beat in 8 to 20 hours, you'll probably replay it again because you know that you don't have to put as much time into it, at least for
me.
Yeah, that's not. And I will probably say, like, I was in a different stage of my life as well when I played The Witcher 3 versus the Mass Effect games. I wasn't married. I didn't have a kid. You know, all those things didn't factor into it, but I also, like B-Daddy said, I didn't have the desire to go back and play those games again. But I do remember with Mass Effect, every time I beat that game, I was like, all right, I'm going to go back and I'm going to play this game again. I'm going to do this differently. I was...
Games that have multiple choice things are awesome like that.
Yeah. And, you know... Yeah, I agree that replayability is very subjective. It's going to be different for, obviously, all three of us on the show to an extent. We obviously play the replay Call of Duty's multiplayer over and over again, but I think that kind of isn't.
I think that game's meant to be. I mean, yeah. It's multiplayer. I mean, like for me, I guess what I was getting at is like if the gameplay design is really solid, the game is almost timeless, and you can go back. I can still go back and play Robotron 2084. It is the origin of the twin stick shooters. It's still a ton of fun. It's hard for the first couple of rounds, but once you get zoned in, it's a blast. But let's say, what's a game from that era that doesn't hold up very well? It was novel at the time. It's just not as fun. Like Asteroids, it doesn't do it for me. It's too clunky and slow. So for me, like when a game is really, the gameplay is super polished, it makes it infinitely, almost infinitely replayable for me, where I know I can always have fun. It's got that, like Halo, the Halo series, they were so good at capturing that 1 minute dopamine hit of machine gun, melee, grenades, repeat, and they kept it going, and you always had these little conflicts. They did a great job with that on the first two Halos for sure. Actually, I mean, for all the Halos, just the story kind of falls apart in Halo 5. I don't know what happened there, but
yeah.
But, I mean, like, Halo 1, I've replayed, I don't know, 30 times.
Oh, yeah, like, almost infinitely amount of times. Like, I played through the campaign so many times. But the cool thing about that, too, is also, like, the AI in it is so good. It's never the same encounter every time you play.
That's true.
You could, you know, like, on Attack of the Control Room, when when you first walk out into that huge battle, you could
there's a million
run,
choices you can make there that'll affect it.
And you could run the same path every time, and it's not going to be the same encounter. One little grunt's going to be doing something else, and then you think he's going to be there, and the next time you do it, he's not. He's doing something else. You know, that's what's, I think, really cool about that game, and that's the design element, like you say. It's a timeless design. It's something that, you know...
The thing, like, with that game, sure, they upgraded the graphics, but I could probably still go back and play the original Xbox, original version, still enjoy it, because the gameplay was solid and good.
Exactly. It's not all about the graphics. It's the total package.
And I'm not saying I'm the 4K HDR nut bar. Don't get me wrong. I love the graphics. But for me, like, games that are replayable definitely have really, really solid gameplay. Like, fighting games are one where if this gameplay is super, super solid, the game can last a long time. I mean, Virtua Fighter 5 FS is 12 years old, and that's still a popular game on Fight Night because the gameplay is so solid.
Or same thing with, like, beat-em-ups, like Streets of Rage 2.
Oh, dude,
I could play that.
Yes. I've beaten that game, like, 50 times.
Yeah, even just the original Genesis version. I could plug it in and play it, and no problem. The graphics, as crappy as they, like, appear now, they still, like, being on the Genesis, I'm like, man, these are awesome. The sound, the music, and then the gameplay itself, just, like, the... I don't know, it's just has that special something to it that I can pop it in and play it, and it's, like you said, timeless.
So here's a question, I guess. What's a game that has high replayability to you, but there is still something about the game that when you go and play now, it just, like, irks you? And let me give you an example to maybe clarify this question. One of the games I really love to go back and replay every now and then is Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Oh my god, I love that game.
Fantastic game. One of the greatest games, right? But now playing that style game, like, even though they had the 8-way movement set up in that game, you know, the up, down, left, right, diagonals, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it still, like, doesn't feel as
smooth
as the other, like, more current gen games of the same, where you can kind of have more of a fluid curve to your movements if you needed to.
Yeah, it was all digital back then. There was no analog control.
But right? the like, so when you're playing it, you're just kind of like, oh, dang, I'm so used to modern crap that it annoys me. Like, that's kind of where I'm going. Like, what's a game that you love to replay, but the future has ruined some of the aspects of that game for you?
It's tough because, like, most of the games I go back and play, I might notice it at first, but then once I start playing, I don't notice it at all.
You readjust and you're just...
Yeah. Okay. It just kind of, like, melts, you know, melts into the background.
Oh, man. It might take me a while to scan through. I mean, there's certain things about... I mean, like, I have a hard time playing old RPGs where you can't save anywhere. Like, that's a big not fun... they're okay to play on, like, the retro consoles I have because you can do a save state. But let's say I was playing on the original hardware. Or let's say I was playing a newer game in the series that still played like a really, really old RPG. I'm going to call out Dragon Quest XI here. And you leave the main town and you go on your quest and you're, instead of, like, saving, I ran around and I was just wandering and fighting monsters. And I had leveled up like 5 times and I forgot to heal myself and then I died. Well, guess where I started? I started right outside that town, and I lost all my levels. It didn't even autosave when I leveled up, which was kind of, to me, kind of bullshit. I was like, okay. So at that point, I knew, I was like, I'm going to walk away from this game. It's not the game. It's me. That design element I can't handle anymore. Like, it's got to – if I level up, it should autosave those levels. It shouldn't take those away because I died. That was – that irked me. And a lot of old RPGs are actually like that.
From the I don't know about era. You, Hop, but in real life, when I die, I lose all my levels, too. So
Hey, look, I've only died twice. It's been okay.
Oh, sorry. I had to. But, all right. Yeah, I mean, okay, so let's go back to, now here's another question, I guess, is, thinking about replayability, like, what's something that, like, almost immediately you see in a game that you're just like, nope, never going to play this game again, but I'm going to get through it enough to be done with it forever?
Oh, I mean, I can tell you just because of all the games, right? when a game is huge, like Witcher 3, or in this case Assassin's Creed Origins, as huge, as much as I've loved Assassin's Creed Origins, as beautiful as the game is, as much as I could say maybe I'll replay that someday, I can probably tell you with a 99% degree of certainty I'm probably never going to play the game again after I beat it, because the game is gigantic. And just when a game's that big, I just know I'm probably never going to play it again, because I'm going to want to play another game instead.
Yeah, there's... That's tough, because like there's a lot of games like that. Like, I kind of like hop, like, a huge game like that.
So what your gentlemen are telling me is size does matter.
I guess. Well, maybe because I'm older now, I don't have a ton of free time, so it's like, you know, play through the game and I want to play something else now. But
well, and it's as at the same as being, we're adults, right? So we're older, we don't have a lot of free time, we also have the financial means to buy the newer games, so we don't need to replay the older games, you know, unless we really want to. Like, you know, when you were younger, like Sawyer's, your son's age, right, he can, you know, replay because he's got a lot more time than we do
as exactly
adults. Like, my son's beaten the crap out of Mario Odyssey I don't know how many times already. Whereas if I had that, I would probably play through it once and be like, okay, I'm going to move on to something else.
So I guess one thing I find is interesting is you guys talk about, like, replaying the whole game again, but, like, thinking of games like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Far Cry 5, Grand Theft Auto, and, you know, all these other games that once you get the main quest, main storyline done, like, do you not feel any, I guess, urge to go back in and kind of clean up some of the side quests or storyline or other storylines or things in the game?
It would depend, but I think mostly because there's a giant backlog breathing down my neck of other games that that doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, that in a lot of games now, it seems like just put so much filler in the game to make it,
yes,
to artificially extend it. Like side quests.
Let's say you're busy trying to do side quests in Assassin's Creed and your buddy invites you to a party and says, hey, you want to play some Black Ops? Well, what are you going to do? You're going to go play Black Ops, right?
Exactly.
Or just ignore it and just keep playing.
Now, if I'm
going
to
do that.
If I'm going to do that, I'll just hide offline. If I don't want to be bothered.
I will accept any party invite and probably go play whatever the game is that they're requesting.
I mean, my whole point in bringing this up is it's like, for me, and like you were saying, we're all going to have different things. I loved your thing about the story and the universe. That definitely has me, if I find something that I've replayed the Gears games multiple times, at least Gears 1, 2, and 3, because I really liked that story and that world they created, and they were a lot of fun. Gears 4 didn't impress me story-wise, so I didn't replay it, and Gears 5 didn't either. But the original Gears trilogy I replayed because I loved... I mean, I read all the Gears books. I really got into Gears, and I don't know why the newer Gears games just aren't having the same effect on me.
Well, was it Gears 4 that never seemed to end? The campaign seemed so freaking long? Or is it... maybe... It just seems like...
Five's pretty long. Five drags out a little bit because you got those half-open world missions.
Yeah, that's the thing is... Yeah, maybe it's Gears fatigue. I don't know. But yeah, I played the shit out of the first three, too. And that has like that same like gratifying gameplay, too, where...
Yeah, the Gears 1, 2, and 3 were like Halo 1, 2, and 3. Like, infinitely awesome and fun. And especially, like, Gears 1 and 2, the story... co-op with a buddy is really fun, and then Gears 3 they added 4-player, so much fun.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I loved Gears 4 and 5, but I'm not going to go down that path because we've all established that I typically enjoy almost anything. I'm kind of that person, so I think we've had a really good conversation. I think we've really dived deep into what replayability is, and I'd be curious to think what our community thinks about replayability. What makes a game replayable to you? And we've really focused on that single player, that story driven aspect, because we understand why multiplayer games are replayable, because well, let's be honest, most multiplayer games have a hook of some sort that gets you to keep coming back.
Right,
to
they're
play
designed
it
more. For so, that gameplay. Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's not like it was back in the initial like Call of Duty days when it was just play because you're having fun with your friends, but now it's like, no, I gotta get that camo or that skin or whatever
they got
it is.
Carrot on a stick.
So yeah. They have figured out the psychological things that we need to keep playing those games. So please let us know what makes a game replayable to you. What is the game that you replay the most? I mean, I could probably guess what Anthem's game that he replays the most might be. Anybody?
Skyrim.
Yep. So
no way.
I would love to hear what is a game that is replayable to you, and what is a game that, or what are reasons why a game would not be replayable to you. It's just definitely a good conversation to have, and I would love to see that in our Discord. It's the time of our show to kind of wrap it up, and B-Daddy, do you have any last words or shout-outs you want to give?
I'll just give a shout-out to Tag, the greatest gaming community there is.
Dang.
Hell yeah.
Damn straight.
I'm going to go with B-Daddy on that. Yeah, thank you to Tag for letting us host the show. Check us out at theadultgamer.com. You can find me there, get my Xbox Live Gamer Tag. We can play some Doom, some Borderlands, some Call of Duty. What about you, Finn?
Yeah, Fenrir765, hit me up on Xbox. I'll play almost anything. Just let me know, and I'll jump in and have some fun, because I just enjoy chatting with people and seeing what tickles their gaming fancy, because, you know, that's what we're here for. As usual, hit me up if you have any community questions, or hop up as well to join the show. We'd love to have you on. And until next time, everybody stay safe and have fun and be kind and do the right thing. See ya.